Well, you know, persecuted early Christians, the early church, they used the Psalms as their hymnal. It was their hymnal. And it probably led the suffering early church to identify with the ups and downs that are being sung about all the time in the Psalms. And today, we experience the emotional highs and the emotional lows of life. And when we do, Psalm 30 and others that are like Psalm 30 in the Psalms, they have a special message for us. And that message is this: our earthly trials are temporary. Our earthly trials are temporary, but our joy lasts forever. That's something to think about. This applied to David while he was writing Psalm 30. But it applies to us even more so. Why? Because now we have the one that David sought the help from. We have Jesus living inside of our hearts. God is living inside. We are alive in Him. And in the midst of trying times, we can tap into that joy by recalling our close relationship to Jesus. And I think that's what this song, Joy in Serving Jesus as I Walk Along My Way, it's like, yes, we can have that joy in the midst of suffering, because He had that joy in the midst of suffering. We're going to learn more about that. But we tap into joy by recalling our close relationship with Jesus. As we remember our union with Jesus in reading Psalm 30, it richly expands our application of it to our personal lives. And what we first of all have to do is remember how Jesus delivered us. And verse 1 through 3 I'll read again. And it's also there in front of you, even though it's not numbered by the numbers, it's in the responsive reading. And verses 1 through 3, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Well, this psalm, this doesn't have the preface of this psalm, but it's in your Bibles. The preface to the psalm. It's sometimes not read by people. It starts at verse 1, but there's a preface. And this preface for this psalm, it introduces it at a song to be sung at David's, the dedication of David's house, or in many translations it says the temple, dedication of the temple that he wanted to build, that he wanted built. And so, really, that's a good introduction, because where we live in our house, in our home, where we live and where we worship, even if it's a music room that has been turned into a temple by our worship, they should be places of remembrance. They should be places of remembering. And these verses in this Psalm 30, they can remind us of something, or these three verses in Psalm 30, they can remind us of our conversion, the time when Jesus lifted us up out of the depths of our guilt. We called and He healed. By bringing us up from the grave of sin's spiritual death by new birth. Now that's our conversion. That's our personal time of entering into a relationship with Jesus. But these verses can also apply to our ongoing times of deliverance, our testimonies of deliverance. When Jesus lifted us out of the depths of depression or anxiety, He didn't let our demonic enemies gloat over us, but He spared us from going down into the pit of hopeless despair. You know, He spared us. And we can read those verses and say, yeah, it applied to when we first came to Christ, but it implied for His deliverances that He's brought to us in our Christian life. But why do we have these times, these low times? Is God angry with us? For our failures to obey Him, you know, to walk the line, you know, to do what He says, to follow Him. Well, I can say this from Scripture, any anger that God has, because God does get angry at sin, but any anger that He has is rooted in His love. We have to realize that. Any anger that God has is rooted. It comes out of His love and His commitment to us. And as we recall times of His loving deliverance, when He did bring deliverance to us, when he saved us, or when he helped us out of our emotional struggles and times of physical downtimes, when we've had physical downtimes, and we all have had those. Thinking on those things, remembering those times of His loving involvement in our lives, it causes us to identify with these next two verses, 4 and 5. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name. For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Our earthly trials are temporary, but our joy lasts forever. And if we lose our joy, we say, oh, I've lost my joy. Well, if we lose our joy, the first step we can take to tap back into it again is to remember that joy isn't just a feeling. Joy is not just a feeling. Verse 6 and 7. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Overconfidence. Overconfidence in, I will never be shaken, you know. You might say, oh, wow, I'll never be shaken, you know. And that can set us up for a fall if we have that overconfidence. Emotions can vacillate. Emotions, a sense of security can change or be shaken. But God's favor isn't based on my mountain standing firm. That's not what it's based on, my mountain standing firm. He allows low points in our lives. He allows us to have spiritual battles, illnesses, infirmities, brushes with death, or even the deathbed experience itself. These are not signs of His disfavor, but they are occasions for us to tap into His joy by faith in His unchanging love, His changeless care for us, His changeless love. Part of the human condition, part of what we deal with as being human sometimes, is being dismayed by a feeling that even Jesus felt in His full humanity. He felt this. That God hides His face, letting us fend for ourselves. You know, we say, oh, God's abandoned me. You know, we feel like I'm just on my own now. At such times, we may echo what Jesus said on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was the cry of a human, very, very human cry that Jesus cried from the cross. And we might do what David did here, letting our feelings of abandonment become frantic pleading with God. We just frantically plead with God. Not with unwavering faith, but with sort of an anxious despair we plead with God. In verse 8 and 9, to you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Now, knowing that he knew little, knowing that David knew little about resurrection teaching, we have it all in the New Testament. There are a few verses in this that help us to understand resurrection in the Old Testament. But he knew little about the resurrection doctrine that we know so well because of Christ. But using that, what he knew from his Old Testament concepts, they were familiar to him, he desperately tried, to convince God to deliver him. Please, God, come on. Is the dust going to praise you? Come on, God, deliver me. And you know, we say, well, David shouldn't have done that. Well, sometimes we have arguments like that we might bring to God, very similar. Who'll run the committee, God? Who'll watch out for my spouse? Who'll tend the rose garden? who keep church running? You know, if you don't keep me here in the picture, you know, we might laugh at that and say, that's us. Yeah, that's how we do sometimes. You need to keep me in this picture, Lord, because otherwise this stuff won't get done, you know. Well, we might laugh at it, but God doesn't laugh at it. God doesn't laugh at it. He'll never laugh at it, because in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, very comforting passage, As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our condition. In his fatherly care, God does listen. He does listen. Even if we're praying in a panic, you know, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help. I remember praying that when I was on the mountainside. Rosemary said I didn't say it out loud, but I felt I was shouting it. But it must have been just in my mind. Oh, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. And that was my inner mind doing that while I was sort of floating around here saying, oh, I feel so comfortable. You know, and I was looking at the mountain. My eyes were actually staring at the ground, but I was watching the waterfall. And I thought, this is such a peaceful place. You know, and I think I could have abandoned my body at that point, but I started throwing up and I went right back into my body. And I have to tell you that I was in a panic. My mind was praying in a panic, and now we do that sometimes. Verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help, be my help, be my help, be my help. You know, in a frantic cry. Well, He will help. He will help. He'll answer us. He'll help us by helping us to remember who we are. We are His children. Our earthly trials are temporary. But God will make sure, our Father God, He will make sure that our joy lasts forever. We tap into that joy by forgetting to fret. Not by remembering to fret, no. Forgetting to fret about our circumstances as we remember our source of joy. In verse 11 and 12, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. What a fitting end to that psalm. After all this, you know, my trials and my ups and downs, and now to end at this place. It's a wonderful place to end. But I also have to do that quote again by Lewis Smedes, the theologian. If our joy is honest joy, it must somehow be congruous with human tragedy. This is the test of joy's integrity. Is it compatible with pain? Is Smedes right about that? He's right if the joy that he's talking about comes from the God who can turn our mourning into dancing. Our painful wailing isn't just a response to tragic circumstances or tragic losses. Pain is the price of love. The more deeply we love, the more pain we feel at losses. And the God of love, whose image we bear, is grieved over human losses even more deeply than we are, because He has greater love than we do. God removes our sackcloth and clothes us with joy only because He Himself has, what Smedes said, honest joy, somehow congruous with human tragedy, a joy compatible with pain. How in the world does that divine somehow work? How does it work with God? How does it work in us? Well, to understand how we can have joy in the midst of pain and trouble, we must know how God has it. And the answer to that is, He has it in His very nature as love. He has it in His very nature as love. It's His love in Romans 5:5 poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's His love leading the list in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, with joy listed with love. Yeah, joy listed right after love. The joy is listed right after love. Joy, love, peace. And it's His love in John 3:16 that gave His one and only Son to die, to suffer and die for our sins. And it's His love. It's the love of Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, Hebrews 12:2. Because God's love is eternal, God took on our human flesh, entered this world of pain, and endured bodily torture for our sins, so that we'd be able to tap into His joy, not just for time, not just temporarily down here, which we need to do too, but for eternity. For eternity, tapping in beyond this time, into eternity. So remember the love of God. That's the source of joy. That's the source of our joy, and we have that love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So remember the love of God. Remember the cross of Christ, which is the greatest demonstration, and that when He was looking at that, it was for the joy set before Him that He endured the cross. And then remember that we learned this from Psalm 30. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Our earthly trials, our earthly troubles, they're temporary. Our earthly pain, our earthly suffering, the difficulties we go through, the hard times, it can be in a whole bunch of levels. Our earthly trials are temporary, but our joy lasts forever. Let's praise His name. Father God, we do praise You. We are so thankful that You have given us Your love. And in that love, You have given us Your joy, so that we can go through these trials. I love that song, Joy in Serving Jesus, Lord. Lord, we do. It shall never depart from us, because, Lord, You have given us Your love, and Your love never departs from us. You trod the path of suffering. You know the path of suffering, but You have joy set before You when You endured the cross for us. Thank You, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Keep us mindful. Help us to remember, to remember, to remember Your love and Your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.